This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This is Mariam Lemu going live with you all. It is so wonderful to always connect with those who have found me worthy of being followed. Alhamdulillah, it's always a pleasure. So let me see, right now it's telling me to hold on. They're telling a whole bunch of people that we are live. So inshallah, we'll be having a lot of company and we'll have fun. Today is about freestyling. We're just going to answer questions. I'm going to share some things that I think are really, really important for you to know before you get married. So I bet there are lots of singles in the house. All those single ladies and gents, please just give me a thumbs up. Assalamu alaikum. Gifted souvenir, I see you. Always there, yes. All right. Excellent. All right, so yes, we have, oh my goodness, within seconds, we got over 143 people already here. Well, I do not like keeping people waiting, so we are just going to dive in. Folks, please feel free to ask questions. That's what this is about. If you are single, then this one is definitely for you. But I'm sure there'll be married people also who are sneaking in some questions, and I'll do my best, inshallah, to answer them to the best of my ability. So thank you so much for joining me. I'm Mariam Lemu, always a pleasure to connect. This is what I live for. This is what I stand for. My surname Lemu is an acronym that reminds me of where I'm going. The L is for learning, that I'm constantly learning, constantly growing, constantly evolving and upgrading, hopefully myself to the best of my ability. And then E is for enlightened. Then when I've learned as much as I can, I now share with others who are also on a journey like me. And then M is motivate, because I believe so much that it's good to have a cheerleader, someone who's rooting for you, for your success, pushing you to do your very best in all aspects of your life. And you is uplift. My goal is to uplift people, to encourage them to rise up and be the best versions of themselves. So if you're with me on this journey, then inshallah, we're in the right place, right? So let's see here. I am always messing up, right? On Instagram, on social media. I am bankrupt of how to use these things, but I am seeing, there we go, Rumi leaves. Hello, darling, how are you? So let me see some questions. Ma'am, what is the description of an ideal husband? There we go. Whether you are married or not, I do see it's Miss Eshmael. All right. What is the description of an ideal husband? What is ideal for you? Because what is ideal for someone may not be ideal for you. So what I often ask is, what are your wishes? What are your expectations? What are you looking for? Because everybody has different tastes. And because you are so beautifully unique, you are actually the one to say what you want, what you're looking for. However, be very careful not to have a ridiculous wish list where that person actually doesn't exist. That is such an important thing. Make sure your wish list isn't so heavy with all the nitty-gritty details. He's got to be tall. He's got to be fair. He's got to be loaded. He's got to be religious, but not too much. I get a lot of that. And then what else? Sometimes I just burst into laughter when I see what people have on their wish list. So what is ideal for you? What do you want? You've witnessed a relationship before. So what do you definitely not want? Because sometimes that's the best way to start setting realistic expectations and kind of like a guideline or a map to get your, hopefully, your better half, inshallah. What is important, in my opinion, though, is the person has to be God-conscious and God-fearing. Because if they are God-conscious and God-fearing, then they would want to do everything it takes to make Allah happy with them. And they would not want to offend him. And a lot of the things that are going wrong today in marriage is because Allah is absent. God is missing. God is present in the ritual. So yes, they do the five prayers, they do the fast and all that. However, what is missing is the character of a good person, you know, the character of what Allah wants from us. So For me, Allah first in everything. If you say what is an ideal man, I would say one that is God-conscious, God-fearing, one that has a lot of emotional intelligence, is compassionate, is resourceful. They don't need to be stinking rich, but they need to be good at earning a living, a halal income, so that they can take care of their, you know, their family. They can take care of themselves and provide for the family and fulfill their obligations to their spouse and the amana, which is their children. So I hope that answers that. But I'm sure as we go along, we'll be adding more. So let's see what other questions we have here. All right. What dua to get married? What dua to make someone get married to the one, to make you get married to the one you love? I don't have formulas for duas. I've never been given, and I don't share. Number one, I'm not a scholar. So what I just know for sure is that Allah says in the Quran, call on me and I will answer, and that's good enough for me. I don't need no middleman or one special concoction. I strongly believe in taking my fears, my tears, my wishes to Allah, and I just leave my mat with the confidence that Allah has accepted my dua. So do your part. First tie your camel and then pray to Allah. You be a good person and then find the right person, inshallah, using certain guidelines of things to look out for during that period. And there are many, many places when I'm sure you may be wondering, okay, where do I find the right person? Let me tell you one thing, is studies have shown that word of mouth, kind of referral, arranged marriages where somebody recommends this person for you, not forces you, let me emphasize that those marriages have a higher rate of success compared to, marriages where you just both fall in love and say you're going to get married. So make sure someone, if you're looking, you let people know, let your loved ones know, let your friends know that, help me. I think I'm ready to get married, and I would like you, if you know somebody who's decent, who has these qualities, I would love to get to know them better. So I would focus, take any dua to Allah, and Allah will accept it, inshallah. Make sure your intentions for getting married are right. Let me emphasize this. A lot of people get married because they are under tremendous pressure, especially women get married sometimes due to pressure from loved ones. You're not getting any younger. All your friends are married. All your siblings are married. Look at you. Be very, very careful rushing into marriage for the wrong reasons. Someone just last week that I was counseling actually said to me that I am dying to get married and I'm going to get married as soon as I finish high school, secondary school. And I was like, girl, be very careful. Why are you eager to get married? Because I got married right after high school. I got married at 18. Alhamdulillah, I've been married for 30 years. And I keep thanking my Lord and asking him to bless my father for giving me that advice that you are going to get married as soon as you graduate. And so by the time I was in SS1, 2 years before I graduated, I was thinking of marriage. Now, one thing I cautioned this young lady I was counseling was, what's the reason? And she said, I'm dying to leave home. I'm sick and tired of how my father is treating me, and her mother is late, and she wants out. So what I told her is, be very careful what you wish for. You may be going from frying pan to fire, because you may be thinking the pressures and everything you're going through at home is so bad, but because your intention, why you're actually getting married, is not the right reason, because you're actually ready to get married and you've done your homework. You've got the qualities needed to be a good spouse and a good mother, inshallah. You may be finding yourself in a worse situation where you will be miserable, where you will be suffering, and you will regret making that decision. And by the time you end up saying, you know what, I'm quitting this relationship, I'm getting a divorce, that's another monster in itself, which you don't want to go through, not unless you've exhausted all options. So I would say, make sure you get married for the right reasons. Don't allow anyone to put pressure on you to get married. Now, let me see what other question. How does one deal with anxiety concerning marriage? Well, that's a very beautiful question. It is very natural for one to be nervous. Some people are throwing up before as the wedding date gets closer because of nerves, the uncertainty, and of course, all the stories. When you hear people talk about marriages today, it freaks one out and you're like, I pray I'm not going to be one of the statistics. So what I would advise is, number one, make sure you've done your istikhara. Make sure you have asked Allah to guide you in selecting the right spouse. And if you don't know how to do istihara, if you've not already done it, quickly go online. Istihara is readily available. I would advise, do istihara. Because if, inshallah, this is a blessed marriage, you will find more peace, more confidence in what you're going through. And then, of course, intensify your dua, your sadaqah, your fast, and inshallah, Allah will put his stamp of approval in that. Then when you mention anxiety, I pray it's not because you have seen something that is making you nervous. Because I want to emphasize, if you see anything that makes you uncomfortable, do not ignore warning signs. That is Allah speaking to you. That is Allah accepting your dua. And do not make the mistake of just going in because the date has been set, the wedding invitation has been, you know, you've got the wedding gown sewn. Please to God, do not. Literally, even if it is a day before that nikah, it's not too late. It is painful. It is going to disrupt the family. It'll cause a lot of embarrassment. It may cost some relationships with you and your loved ones, but I keep emphasizing it's not about them. As long as with confidence you know that this thing isn't going to be good for you, then make sure you walk away. Make sure you cut it off, because if you go ahead with it, you will most likely be going through a lot of pain and anguish, and you will make others get involved in this battle, which is not healthy. So if you're anxious because, like, the anticipation, the nerves, that's healthy. Just intensify your du'as, do your sadaqah fast and so on. But if you're anxious because you've seen warning signs, pull your brakes. Yes. I have a premarital course that I've created and it's available on my website. Go to mariamlemu.com. In there, I talk about the warning signs and when you should walk away or run for dear life. And I highly recommend, if you are yet to get married and even if you have been married a day or a week, it's never too late to take it. I've got couples who have been married for 16 years who have enrolled in the course because they said they've been dissatisfied with the relationship and they wanted to start from ground zero up to see what they've missed. So I pray your anxiety isn't because of warning signs. Maybe you've seen a hot temper. Maybe this person has snapped at you. Maybe there is some lies you've caught them telling. Maybe there is some infidelity. Yeah. Be careful. Be very, very careful, because if it's okay during the premarital stage when they are supposed to be on their best behavior, all these things are not supposed to show. You know, be very cautious going forward with things that are actually sending alarm bells, where your gut instinct is telling you something isn't right. Go down that road and make sure you don't ignore them. Otherwise, you're gonna live to regret it. I hate to say that. Let me answer some more questions. How do you know when you found the right person? Again, in my premarital course, I've got a checklist, a whole list of things that you should tick off to know this has been addressed and I have not seen anything. So let's go back to those alarm bells that are warning signs that are telling me to pull my brakes or walk away. Addictions. Yes. There's somebody I counseled not long ago who said the person she was going to marry, the person she was going to get married to was smoking. And they told her that they were quitting because of her. And so she should be patient with them. And she said she hated the smell of cigarettes and she hated when he was around her that smell, but she loved him so much. Unfortunately, she accepted his word for it and he continued smoking afterwards. And then unfortunately, because he didn't cut off with the friends that were also, you know, his circle of friends that were okay with that kind of behavior, they influenced him into escalating it to smoking weed. And then before you know it, he was taking cocktails of pills, which you know, made him so high, he came home sometimes and actually hit her. And she called, absolutely confused as to what to do. And alhamdulillah, I happened to know her siblings, and I was able to reach out to the one of them who involved some of their senior relatives, because their parents were no longer alive, and they were able to take her out of that dangerous situation with her child. And he has made all sorts of promises, but the condition now is, unless he's gone through rehab and it's completely clean, she ain't coming back. So just to answer your question, how will you know when you found the right person? First, when you are the right person. I emphasize this because Mr. or Mrs. Wright, or Mr. Wright or Miss Wright are looking for Mr. or Miss Wright. So you better be right. So you need to, first of all, be the right person. And once you know that, you know what, I'm self-aware, I've got a lot of emotional intelligence, I've learned certain skills that are needed for success in marriage, such as effective communication, which include effective listening and effective speaking. I say that in my course so much because I went into marriage not good at effective speaking, and I was the most hopeless listener, like known to man. Unfortunately, it caused a lot of fights and a lot of pain. I betrayed my husband when I was angry because I used things he told me in confidence against him. And I went for blood. I just didn't know how to fight. So I brought out all my big guns and I went for blood. So it cost a lot to the marriage. It affected the marriage in such a negative way. It took me years to reestablish trust with my husband for him to confide in me, since anytime he tells me something, I was like, you know, your mother was right when she said, kaza, kaza. You know, I was really bad. So I emphasize these skills that you need. And then how will you know when you found the right person is when you go through your checklist. And I highly encourage you to take the course. It's there on my website, mariamlemu.com, because I give you access to things that are so important you talk about. Talk about their emotional intelligence, you know, observe them closely, see what makes them tick, discuss how you will handle conflict, and then make sure you've dealt with your excess baggage, but make sure they've also dealt with their excess baggage. One of the worst things a lot of couples do not realize is when they get married, if they haven't dealt with either childhood trauma or things they witnessed as children that were not pleasant, either what they went through or what they saw in their parents, it can manifest itself in a very negative way in the relationship. So I highly, highly, highly encourage you to make sure that you discuss, is there anything that has happened in your childhood that causes you pain, that you're uncomfortable about? Are there things you witnessed that you didn't like, that you know, you want to talk about, so that you start to get used to having these discussions? The more you find so much secrecy, you find those walls going up, these no-go areas, the more you should slow down. Because if this is something that's important to you, then you want to make sure that they are comfortable talking with you during the premarital stage. So talk about these things beforehand, and a whole lot more, inshallah. Because of time, obviously, I can't go through the whole list. But like I said, make sure you're getting married for the right reasons. Make sure you've dealt with your baggage and he's comfortable talking about his. Make sure your wish list is realistic. Make sure you know what you want and what you definitely don't want, so that when you see it, you immediately are able to recognize and take action. You get married, how will you know when you found the right person? When you've investigated them. Investigate, yes. become a detective. You need to ask questions from others who know this person, how they are in different social settings, how they are with their colleagues, how they are with their friends. You know, how is their family background? How do the parents relate with each other? Many people replicate what they saw in their home, how their parents communicated. And because you and your husband, or you and your wife-to-be, come from totally different backgrounds, you're going to bring your own, you know, your background, your story into this relationship. So it's important these are things you talk about beforehand and observe. And ask people to help you. This is where your loved ones come in and play a big role. So I hope that has helped you a little bit. And how do you know when you've known the right, when you've found the right person? Do your istihara, girl, or gentleman, whoever is watching. Do your istihara. It is so important. Do it with an open mind. Don't be so head over heels in love that you're like, ya Allah, help me select this person, or if they are good for me and my affairs, ya Allah, please show me a sign, put them in my heart, or put me in their heart, and if they're not good for me, take them out of my heart. But ya Allah, you know this is the right person for me, right? So don't do one funky kind of istihara. Do it with an open mind and trust in Allah to help you in, you know, choosing the right spouse, inshallah. All right, let's see. If you do love someone but already expressed to him, but he hasn't yet and you aren't sure if he is the one, who will you judge? I'm taking it, the question you are asking is, you are interested, you've expressed, but this person does not seem to be giving you the right signals, you're not feeling the vibe, so to speak. What I would say is slow down. Don't rush it. Allah's time is the best. What is meant for you will never ever miss you. No matter what happens, it's not going to miss you. So calm down. Don't be so desperate. Each time you show desperation, you could be turning this person away. You could be pushing them away because you seem too eager. So be confident in yourself. Don't be desperado, if you know what I mean. And continue to supplicate. If they are the right person, you want to make sure the person you want to marry wants you. You don't want to be the one who really wants them and they're really like, oh, well, I'll manage you. So be very careful with that. All right. Odion, I see you, girl. Love and du'as to you. Which du'a does one have to do? Okay. If the person he loves is already engaged, please let them go. What's meant for you will never miss you. If that person is meant for you, you will have them. But do not go into making any special du'as. And I pray you don't leave your faith by going to one special malam or juju stuff into someone claiming they can make them fall in love with you again. It is unnatural. It is un-Islamic. Don't make that mistake. You're going to offend Allah seriously. Your prayers are not going to be answered. Like, there are lots of things. It's excess baggage you don't want. All right, here we go. She is 100% right. A guy can do his 5 prayers. Okay, cool. What do you think about giving a list of conditions from the men's side before marriage? And what if the men don't even fulfill some of those conditions themselves? Okay, this is where your talking with each other is so important. Let me read the question again and make sure I understand. What do you think about giving a list of conditions? So the person who wants to marry you, the man who wants to marry you has given you a list of conditions, things they want from you or want you to do before marriage. And what if that person is not even fulfilling those things themselves? Then you need to slow down. You need to slow down. Don't make the mistake of marrying someone who do as I say, but not as I do. That's not the right person for you. So if I were you, and thank God you've seen the sign early, just know Allah has accepted your dua and walk away. Trust me on this. Honestly, if you've already seen they're not doing it themselves, then definitely, definitely, there's going to be a serious problem. All right. I see Odion again. Please help record and save this on your page. Subhanallah. What am I doing wrong? I take it. I'm going to be able to save it at the end. I pray I'm not messing up. So let me continue. I'm a bumbling idiot on social media. Most of the time, I don't know what I'm doing. So I pray to God this gets saved. All right. Thank you. Or any regular dua for getting married. I've shared that. No audio from my end. I think people are hearing me, so I will continue. Salam, I'm getting married soon. Need du'as, please. Just trust in Allah. Tell Allah what you want and just accept that He has accepted your du'a. He says, call on me and I will answer. That is sufficient for you. Honestly, I've never been given special du'as for marriage and I've never shared because I'm not a scholar, but I've been so grateful to Allah that the confidence of asking him and knowing that he has accepted is sufficient for me, alhamdulillah. And I feel my marriage has been blessed for 30 years. I'm married to my best friend, my buddy, my boyfriend for life. Alhamdulillah, he's been like such a role model in my life, a role model to our children. So I couldn't ask for anything more. And my simple du'as, there's no middleman. It's just direct connection, alhamdulillah. So trust in Allah. You don't need anything bigger than that. Then my dad always said, "Adua sadaka azmi iyae." So make du'a, do your sadaka, fast, and please your parents. Get your parents, make sure you do things to please your parents, make them happy, make them comfortable. And to me, that's sufficient a formula for success in life in all aspects, alhamdulillah. All right. How do we find the right person? I've answered this before. Be the right person. And then speak to people who know you well and ask them ideally. But people are using unconventional methods today, and they are working. I know some good, very dear friends who have found their partner to be, inshallah, on websites that do matchmaking. I think the most popular is Muzmatch, but there are so many others. I actually have a list, the links on my premarital course at mariamlemu.com, where you can click on the link and it takes you directly to those various sites. But a disclaimer, go in with all the senses you will use if you are facing somebody and courting them, if it's somebody live, not virtual. But alhamdulillah, a lot of these websites use halal and Islamic compliant ways of courting the right way, so that you don't ever cross the line and offend Allah in your courtship, and then you don't get his stamp on approval before you've even gotten married. So that's what I will say. My marriage took place like that, alhamdulillah. Okay, excellent. Let's see what other questions we've got. I'm 26, I want to get married, but my family is not being religious. I can't talk about your family. I can only talk about you. So you do your own. Your relationship is with your maker. Allah is not going to hold you accountable for your loved one's relationship with him. He's going to hold you accountable for your relationship with him. So tell yourself, it's got nothing to do with anything. Just intensify your prayers, your du'as, and ask him to guide you in selecting the right person. And may Allah make it possible. May Allah guide you in finding the right spouse that you will each complement each other with and live happily in peace and tranquility. How can I keep my husband to myself after marriage? I don't know if there is a black and white formula written in stone. Let me be very honest with you. But one thing I know is every human being values being appreciated, being respected, being spoken to kindly. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the heart has been created in a way that it loves those who show kindness towards it and dislike those who cause it pain. So if you both are intentional as a couple, before you marry, make sure you're both getting married for the right reason. Make sure you share your expectations of how you see your marriage becoming, not like your parents, but what the two of you will complement and put together and build together. Then to keep your husband, I would advise you as a woman, take good care of yourself. Like me, I look at food, I feel, and I get fat. I have a battle with food because I love food. So I'm constantly doing my best. Even this morning at 7:15, my husband and I went out and we played real tough tennis. And yeah, alhamdulillah, we try. He's so supportive and encourages me and does things with me because we've been able to build a real partnership. And so all the aspects of our lives, we try to do them together as much as possible, whether it's our intellectual growth, our spiritual growth, our physical growth, growth in the area of service to humanity. We're on the same page, alhamdulillah, because we have our eye on the target. So for you, I pray you and your spouse are on the same page when it comes to the destination. You know, what you want, and then you are both intentional. What I love is my husband also comes home, takes a shower as well when he comes back from work, you know, freshens himself up for me. So it's not just me doing all the work. He also wants me to find him attractive. And then, you know, ask your spouse, what do they like? What don't they like? For me, I ask him regularly, you know, how can I make you happier? What am I doing that you don't like so that I can work on it? And then what am I doing that you like so I can continue? And then what new things are we not doing at all that you want us to start? Because this keeps the relationship fresh. Boredom is a recipe for disaster in any relationship. So be very, very careful. It's dangerous to allow your relationship to get stagnant and monotonous. So always try and be, inject spice, inject variety, do things together that are different. Don't be so stuck in a routine. Have some routines, you know, like the time you sit together and just relax, chat, or do nothing really important, but you're together in the same room. Our kids grew up seeing their dad and I always in the same room, relaxing, whether we're watching TV or working, we're together in the same room. So anytime they see us separated, I'm somewhere else in the house, they're going to think like something is wrong. And they actually come and challenge me and say, are you fighting? I was like, psh, I'm not fighting, and so on. But try and make sure you keep yourself fresh. And when I say fresh, I mean clean, fresh, and be adventurous. Be adventurous in the bedroom, because intimacy is a very, very important part of marriage, especially for the men. So try and make sure you're constantly doing research, asking. There are many people who teach and share tips on intimacy and how to keep the sparks flying in the relationship. So try and be adventurous, and then ask your spouse, what are their fantasies? What would they like you to bring to life? And so on. So try and look sexy, be sexy, flirt with your spouse. 30 years down the line, I still flirt with my husband, and he loves it, and he knows, and he does with me as well. I'll see he's cleaned himself up, combed, and the way he looks at me, it's like, you know, a dreamy look, and I was like, he's mine. So, okay, let me see. Okay, help me get married to your son, then you will make a mother-in-law. Oh my goodness, which of my sons? I've got two. But you'll have to pick a number because I got a long waiting list for that one. Mashallah. May Allah grant your daughter a beautiful husband, inshallah, at the right time. Okay, here we go. Let's see. Salams, please. Please, how important is social compatibility in the relationship? It's interesting. My husband and I are like night and day when it comes to social compatibility. He's more of a homebody. And I love going out. I love being amongst people. Though I love my private time, I love my home time. But I'm somebody who's more outgoing. Even when I'm in the house, I prefer to go outside and sit in my garden than just sit in the house. So this issue to do with social compatibility, I think sometimes be careful what you're reading, because some people will bring in some phrases that are imported that all of a sudden make you start wondering, you know, am I missing something? Maybe we're not socially compatible. That's why we're not getting along and so on. That's definitely not it. My husband and I get along very well, alhamdulillah. And this issue to do with being social, sometimes I would say, come, let's go out together. And he does. Other times he says, no, I don't feel like it, but you go ahead. And I do. So, you know, I wouldn't put too much weight or emphasis on that. How do you know if he is a man of God or if he's God-fearing? Okay. To be very honest with you, that's a tough question. However, observe them when it's time for prayers. I think that's one. Not that the rituals are a clue, but how they speak, you know, how they conduct themselves, how they talk to others, what kind of things they like to talk about. Do they encourage you to remember your maker, to get closer to your maker? Do they share tips on maybe some quotes they've seen or some lectures they've seen that they'd like to share with you. Sometimes these are clues. And then talk about it. Get to know their knowledge of the dean. Let me emphasize this to anybody who's not yet married. It doesn't matter. In fact, even if you're married, make sure you both discuss your rights and obligations to one another. Most people are totally ignorant of what that is. I've spoken to couples who've been married for 40-something years and they don't know their rights and obligations. But guess what? Allah is going to ask you each whether you fulfilled your obligations to each other. So the best part is during the courtship period, talk about this. Because these rules are not just what you want, it's what Allah wants. And it's what Allah is going to ask us about. So make sure you talk about this. I got to take a sip of water. All right, so I think that's it. And just talk. You can never talk enough during courtship because that's the safe period where you can discuss things. How do I know when I found the right spouse? I think I've covered this before. So if you missed it, then watch the replay, inshallah. It'll be on my page under IGTV. I'm ready to marry someone, or with a sad face. May Allah guide you to select the right person, and don't rush, don't put pressure on yourself, don't end up hurting yourself, and don't put your life on hold waiting for Mr. Right or Miss Right to come. Take your time, relax, continue to grow, continue to evolve. Be single and hopeful, as my dear friend used to say, and make sure you don't wait till you get married to do things that really make you happy. Live. Continue to live, and that person that's meant for you, inshallah, will find you living, and that's what they will find attractive. And hopefully you'll be able to find your life partner that way. Okay, let me see here. Please, can you save this live stream, inshallah? Assalamu alaikum. Does he really have to be crazy about me? No, but you want to make sure he wants to marry you, and you're not the one who really, really wants to marry him. And, you know, let it be healthy. Let it be mutual from the very beginning. And then make sure while you're talking, you both know that we both want each other, not that one really wants the other and is more desperate, because sometimes that brings a bit of disrespect, and that desperation can sometimes turn the other person off. They may get tired of it after a while. So I just want to say, don't be the one who's crazily in love while they are not responding with the same kind of passion and love for you, attraction for you. All right. What if the man has good qualities and all, but then you are not physically attracted to them? Okay. Of course, as Muslims, we are told to go for piety first, you know, their good character, because that one doesn't fade. I remember when I was courting my husband, my father warned me. He said, if I'm looking for something shiny, it'll fade. And if I think I'm shining, I will fade. And I have faded a lot from the 18-year-old that my husband married. My goodness, I was going through some old pictures recently and I was like, whoa, Maryam. Age is catching up with you. However, when I look at my husband and how he looks at me, how he still tells me sweet nothings, it gives me, you know, encouragement. The good thing is I never let myself go. I just really try hard, work my butt off and keep myself fit. However, if you're not attracted to that person, you don't find them, because you're going to be sleeping next to this person, attraction is important as well. You do need to actually know that sometimes a beautiful character, let me emphasize this, can actually make you see someone as a beautiful person. And everything is subjective to your own tastes, because what you may look at and say, I don't find attractive, somebody would look up and like, whoa, this is a hunka chunka burning love. So I think you need to see the person and the beauty in their character and the qualities, their piety, their God-fearing qualities and so on first. And if after all that, you are still not finding it as an endearing quality that you believe, you know what? I will fall in love with this person and, you know, we'll live happily ever after, then make sure you just do a lot of heavy duty istikhara for Allah to guide you, because He knows best. I'm not one to say walk away because of that, because I don't think that's going to be the right advice I will give you. I just know, yes, it's good to be attracted to the person, but I've seen situations where the attraction grows because of the beauty of that person's character. So, and you've seen people who have married somebody who's been burnt from fire, and you wonder like, okay, what did they fall in love with? Again, it is the character, the beautiful soul that they married, you know, that they fell in love with. And then, like my dad says, one day it's all gonna fade. And I watched my parents, they were married for 50 years before Allah called my mother home. And for 50 years, I would see my father gaze into my mother's eyes, and he still saw the beautiful soul he fell in love with. Not the wrinkles and what one would say an old woman, and her memory faded and so on. But my dad never, ever saw that. He was in denial about that part. He was just so in love with her beautiful soul that it went beyond the exterior. So I think that's all I will say with regard to that. What do you do when you are ready to get married, but your family is not in support, claiming you are too young for marriage? Sometimes your family does know you better than you think you know yourself. And I would advise you listen to them and try and get down to what exactly they mean by you are too young to get married. I got married at 18, but my father saw certain things in me that he was deeply concerned about. If you see my pictures at 18, I swear you will think I was like 28. My son, I sent him some of those old pictures of mine and I told him this was me at 17, just before I married Baba, but we were courting at the time. And he's like, Mama, you look like a woman. I was like, I know. But I would say, pray over this, do istihara, because you'll hear me advocating istihara. This was like my dad, I think, was the champion advocator of istihara, because it's always good to ask Allah to guide you in making the right decisions. But your loved ones love you, and inshallah, they mean the best for you. So it's important you respect what they want. However, also get to understand why they feel you're too young. I know for me, because we run schools, and I've got teenagers that I get to see. We have about 450 teenagers that I see each and every day. And I know that this generation, I call them the Indomie generation, are so immature. They're not thinking big. They're unfortunately, and I know social media has affected so many of them, because there are so many imported lingos and imported cultures that they've imbibed. And there's so much shishifufu in them that they're lacking substance. They're lacking depth. So I don't know you, my darling. Let me see your name. So Islamia Tali. Okay. You know, I can't say who you are. I don't know you, but I think if your parents, who know you so well, feel you're too young now, then continue to grow, continue to develop more wisdom by reading more and learning more and developing skills as well that will help them see and feel more confident that you have matured and you are ready for marriage. I think that's the best advice I will give you right now. I hope that's okay. All right, here we go. Okay, excellent. Somebody said Omar Suleiman has an excellent video on istikhara, and I know Ismail Mufti Menk as well. So please check out Imam Omar Suleiman and Mufti Menk's YouTube channel. Somewhere there, if you Google it, if you do a search, you should be able to find it. All right. I was planning on doing a nikah next month, but because I felt something was off, I ended things. It's been very hard, but I remind myself that if it happened for a reason and Allah has a better plan for me, may Allah bless you. Absolutely. 110%. I'm so glad you took that decision. And inshallah, Allah will crown your efforts, your prayers, with something so much better for you, with that person that He created just for you. So I'm so glad to hear that. And this is a warning going to everybody else. This is a warning going to everybody else. Don't settle when you've seen warning signs. You have to be very, very careful. How to know a divorced person if he proposes? I would say ask them, you know, have you been in previous relationships? Have you been married before? This is part of those questions you ask during the courtship period, because it matters to you. It's important to you. So like I shared before, I've got a premarital course with a gazillion questions and checklists of things you need to ask and things you need to do before you get married. Just visit my website, maryamlemu.com, and I got you covered there, inshallah. Let's see. Assalamu alaikum, please. How can I join your premarital courses? Okay, yeah. Just go to maryamlemu.com. As soon as you go to that page, you'll see a short trailer video. You'll see an interview I did with Ismail Mufti Menk about the course, where he is fully endorsing the course and encouraging intending couples and married couples to take the course, inshallah. So may it be beneficial knowledge for you. I pray for that, inshallah. Can I like someone if the person doesn't even know me? Yeah, there is infatuation. Where you are infatuated with someone, they don't know you. But yeah, you are allowed to like anybody you want. But the most important thing we're talking about is the person you want to get married to. And definitely you don't want to get married to somebody who doesn't know you. They will be in for surprises. And if you're not careful, you'll be in for surprises as well. May Allah guide you in the best manner. Please, how do I politely tell my parents that I am not ready for marriage now? Oh, very good question. Intensify your du'as, do your istikhara, and then speak to them. If speaking to them doesn't work, write to them. If that doesn't work, speak to the people they respect the most. It could be an uncle or an aunt. It could be a community leader, maybe an imam that you know they are close to, somebody that you know they respect. They may be offended that you involve outsiders, but do not get married if you're not ready to be married. Often it leads to pain and anguish. And in Islam, you're not allowed to be forced into marriage. So remember that as well. So make sure you do everything in your power to communicate to them and don't sever the relationship. Continue to be respectful. Don't hold grudges. Don't give them attitudes. Maintain a very healthy relationship, but make sure you find a way to express and explain why you're not ready to get married. All right? Okay, here we go. Where can I find a wife with a deen in her heart? I've already talked about where to find the wife, but with regard to the deen in her heart, sometimes maybe find organizations that are already related to things you like. Let's say certain Islamic organizations or groups out there that you can join, because some of their members are single and some of them have matchmaking services. So you may be able to find you have common interests there. Is it bad to marry a Christian girl? Very good question. I need water for this one. Hang on there. Okay. In Islam, you're allowed to marry a Christian girl and a Jewish girl. But a Muslim girl cannot marry a Christian man. Let me emphasize that. Now, we're talking about a Christian girl here. Why it is discouraged is because often you find, especially when you have children, first, you can't force her to become a Muslim. There's no compulsion in religion. So let me make sure I emphasize that. And then when you start having children, if Allah blesses your marriage with children, you find that naturally the kids are often closer to their mother. And if the mother is someone who goes to church and you did not want that, then you could explain it beforehand and discuss it beforehand. However, sometimes you don't have full control over that. And then one day you're going to be dead and gone. for all you know, and then they will go to whatever religion their mother is. So if it's important enough for you, then make sure you do istihara, pray over it, and think wisely before making a decision like that. So yeah, that's what I would say about that. Okay, here we go. Let's go for more questions. Which dua do you do if the person you love is already engaged? I think I've answered that before. Let them go. let's see. Dua is there for istihara. That dua takes you to the right side. Okay, yep, we've done istihara. Okay, my boyfriend is ready for marriage and I'm not. How do I go about it? Okay, first, let me emphasize something. Please don't call them your boyfriend. I love to say, you know, my fiance or the person I'm courting. But boyfriend is a bit flighty. I think it doesn't sound too serious if it's a boyfriend. It sounds like something you do when you're still in high school. If this person is meant for you, they will wait for you if you're not yet ready to get married. So don't put too much pressure. Don't give in to pressure either. Last time is the best, and it's best when you know you are ready and you've checked off all those things I talked about that I share with you in the premarital course. So I would say definitely tell them in a tactful way, polite way, but make sure the message gets across that I am not ready. All right. What is more important between the other family's background or the man's behavior and his deen to be more considered? Okay, I think I'm getting it. Which one is more important? His family background or his iman, his behavior, his conduct? First, I would say his behavior, that he is the right person. However, do not disregard his background because his background shaped him. And his background is most likely what he's going to bring in your relationship. So his background, his culture, his family culture is what he's going to bring. Just like you're going to bring yours or be expecting yours to feature somewhere. So the premarital stage is so critical because you get to talk about this. It's so important because you get to talk about this. Tell me about your parents' relationship. How was it? You know, and what are your expectations of how our relationship will be? Discuss everything. Discuss the chores. You know, discuss cooking. Discuss your allowance. Yes, under Sharia, you are entitled to an allowance if you're a woman. And yes, if it's a man watching, you have to give your wife an allowance for her to do whatever she wants with it, not for food, not for the kids, not for upkeep of the house. But it's something that I have. Actually, if you go on my website, as soon as we're done, mariamlemu.com, you will see rights and obligations of couples in Islam pop up. And it's free. It's a free printable. So just download the PDF and you can print it or at least have it on your device. So you have it as a reference and you get to know these things and practically memorize them. But it gives you something to talk about with your spouse to be and make sure you're both comfortable with that. All right. Let me see what else. What happens when you keep doing istihara over and over? You have a sense of peace with the person. You feel that God is strongly guiding your heart, but then you had some issues while trying to proceed. Yes, everything may seem okay, but when you have issues, I would say just pull your brakes, because to me that's Allah still talking to you. Everything may seem okay, but as soon as you see a sign that is making you uncomfortable, hold on. There is no rush. It's the rest of your life we're talking about. You don't want to rush into something that could be the rest of your life of misery, anguish, pain, and suffering. So do not ignore that thing that suddenly appears, those issues that suddenly appear. All right. Best way to get to know each other. Ask questions. As I said on my premarital course, I've got a ton of questions that you should ask each other. And I encourage couples to be to both take the course, because in there I have questions you will ask the person you're courting and they will ask you. You have to share things with them. So you're both on the same page from the onset. This is so critical. Alhamdulillah, actually this is becoming more and more popular now. People are gifting the course to intending couples, and I promise you, it's the best wedding present you could ever give them. It's the best gift you can give yourself, because I believe it will help you go in with the right tools, with the right skills necessary to navigate the obstacles in marriage. And trust me, there are plenty, but hopefully equip you with the skills and the tools to make your marriage not only work, but thrive, inshallah. And I share the good, the bad, and the ugly truth. I do not hold anything back. When I created that course, it took me almost 2 years. What I had in mind is, if I'm not alive to give my boys the premarital counseling, that there's nothing I've left unaddressed. So it's that comprehensive. I couldn't squeeze anything more out of myself if I even tried. So I highly, highly encourage you to take it. All right, let's see. What else do we have as questions? How long have I been doing this? Okay, I'll be stopping in about 5 minutes. So I say, we understand you very well. Not desperado. Absolutely. Don't be desperate. Don't be clingy. And don't allow someone who's very clingy with you, very possessive. That's a warning sign. Yeah. What if you tell yourself no one is perfect if he's not checking all the things? Yeah, of course no one is perfect. I am so far from perfect. In fact, I call myself a work in progress. And my husband is so far from perfect. But we have built the perfect relationship for us. So when you say no one is perfect, do not ignore things like drugs, like certain bad habits, issues to do with their prayers and their faith. When you marry somebody who doesn't take these things seriously, it's trouble waiting to happen. So don't say to yourself, oh, they are not perfect, I can manage them, or we can work things out afterwards. Nobody is a work in progress of you saying, I will fix them afterwards. Do not say this to yourself. Absolutely, it's healthy to say nobody's perfect, but don't compromise on the most important things. That's what I want to emphasize. And what are the most important things are those things that I tell you I share even in the course, you know, of your wish list. What do you want and what do you definitely not want? Because once you've identified that, it makes it so much easier. You have a guide, you have a template to guide you. And it's not set in stone, because there are some things that some people will write, but they are willing to compromise a little on. Let me give you an example. I have a topic in my premarital course, when it talks about body odor and maybe a skin infection. These are things that you could look at someone and say, ooh, you know, can I really live with this? I'll be lying down next to this person. However, it can be addressed. So you talk about it beforehand. It's awkward. It's embarrassing. They will probably be very embarrassed. But if it's that important, you can fix that kind of thing. But when it's a true character flaw, an addiction, real serious anger management issues where you see how they treat people, they talk in a condescending way, they treat people badly, they insult, they're always talking down to people, they're very negative. These are things you better make sure you address till you're satisfied that I can live with this. If they never change, I'm okay with it for the rest of my life. Like, till death do us part, this is okay. So those are the kind of things that I say, don't mess with. Don't even dare say, oh, they are not perfect, and you ignore the fact that, you know, they smelt of alcohol when they were with you, or they were behaving in an irrational way, you know. So be very careful about that, all right? Let's see. What do I have for single older women? Single and hopeful, I call it, because Allah's time is the best. Don't despair. If you had rushed to get married, and I'm sure you've had a lot of friends that have gotten married and maybe relatives who are miserable, who are probably even out of that marriage, and you were envying them when they got married, say alhamdulillah that you didn't rush, that you didn't settle, that you didn't give in to pressure, and just continue to pray, continue to develop yourself, continue to make yourself attractive. And what I mean attractive, in addition to taking care of yourself physically, take care of your nafs, take care of your soul, purify your heart, and continue to grow in all aspects of your life. And I promise you, inshallah, the right person will come for you. However, if they don't come, then that is Allah's trial for you. And there's a reason why He puts us under these tests. And inshallah, you will pass His test. May Allah give you what is best for you. Because sometimes we think something is what we want, what we feel is good for us. On the contrary, they may actually not be good for us. And you may be able to serve people better not being in a relationship. I'm not saying that is your that's your lot in life, but I just don't want you to despair or feel like a failure. You so are not. You are a gift from Allah, and you are not a loser. You are not a lost cause. Don't see there's anything wrong with you, but be self-aware. Check yourself and make sure you've worked on your weaknesses, on your bad habits, and you continue to build on your assets and your qualities and make yourself an asset. May Allah bless you. May Allah be with you, inshallah. All right. Okay, the desperado part got me laughing. All right. Sometimes when we get a lot of proposal, it makes us confused and difficult to decide. How will I know you are losing good? How will you know you're not losing good candidates? That's why I'm such an istikhara, you know, person, because I prefer Allah to guide me through navigating that whole selection process. And I'm not here just to sell you my course, though I really believe it will help you. But honestly, those questions and those things to look out for will help you eliminate a lot of those candidates, because you will say, oh yeah, next. And you get to have a better criteria for selecting the right spouse. So yeah, I think that's what I would say to you. You know, don't see it like I'm losing the good candidates. If you have the right formula for selecting the right person, inshallah, that will not be your reality. All right, what do you think about making monogamy as a condition for marriage? Well, it's a choice, it's a preference. Polygamy is a preference, polygyny is a preference, monogamy is a preference, but it's something you both have to discuss ahead of time. Do not address it and wait till you're married and then your spouse says they're going to get married to someone else and you are like freaking out. No. It's amongst the things I cover in my premarital course that you must talk about beforehand. Under Sharia, you can actually have a contract where your spouse says they're not going to go into monogamy, and it will be on the day of the nikah. All these things are going to be sealed in the presence of witnesses. However, I know and I advise those who have been able to get that from their spouse never to take it as an excuse or a reason to do as they please. Why? Because it is me, I'm the one and only. Be very careful with that. Don't take it for granted. I mean, I always say don't take your marriage for granted, don't take your spouse for granted, don't take the relationship for granted. Do not relax. You still have to double up. You still have to work as hard as if there's a possibility they may marry someone else to make yourself attractive. There is a strong possibility that in your bad behavior, you chase them out, God forbid, and they find, okay, I'm not gonna get married to someone else, but I'm gonna engage in extramarital affairs. God help you. So don't be the reason why your spouse regrets going into such an agreement. Don't be the reason why your spouse is pushed to go and offend Allah. I mean, that's between them and their maker, and they're going to be called to account for it. However, don't repel them. Yeah, don't be the reason. Take care of yourself. Look good for them. Look sexy for them. Smell good for them. And then have a beautiful character that smells even the sweeter than anything else. That's what I would advise for you to do. Okay, I think I have reached my time up. 9 o'clock. So, oh my gosh, I love you guys so much. I can't believe you stayed. I've got well over 300 people that stayed with us throughout this. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm sure I have a lot of other questions. But don't be scared. Yes, I see somebody said, don't be scared. Don't be scared, inshallah. If you want to go in to marriage or into a relationship more confident, with more conviction, then definitely I would highly encourage you to take my premarital masterclass. You can speak to someone to sponsor you to take the course, because it's going to be the best investment you're going to make in yourself. And I share istikhara there as well. I've got the whole formula, alhamdulillah, and so much more. I share with you dealing with excess baggage, because that is such a sensitive issue, difficult to address, difficult for you to face as well, but it's really important. Then I talk about addictions as well in there, addictions to pornography, masturbations, and guess what? Addiction to devices, because today many people are addicted to social media. Even you, ask yourself, is that the first thing I look at when I wake up before I go and pray to my Lord? Is that the first thing I look at to check my messages before I greet my loved ones? I mean, most of us are addicted. We're watching TV, we're on our devices, and you don't realize it's an addiction. You hear an alert, you hear a notification that a message came through, and you're so eager to go and look at it and see who sent you a message. You could be praying, you're thinking of that, you got a problem. And to me, that one is what is destroying relationships today. So I go through unpacking the process of how to identify and then hopefully deal with all these addictions and a whole lot more. May Allah bless you. Thank you for your time. Jazakumullahu khairan. It's a pleasure. I'll try and come out more often so that we can answer the whole slew of other questions that many people had. May Allah bless you. Assalamu alaikum, and over and out from me.